Hey friends, thanks for tuning in to the Church Planner Podcast. Before we started today, wanted to tell you about a really special opportunity our friends at the Micro Church Conference put on by Brave Future, happening April 18th through the 20th in Kansas City. This is for all of you who are wondering what is a new kind of paradigm for missional church planting and church multiplication through smaller expressions of church, what they call rediscovering the smaller way. It's happening April 18th through the 20th. Kansas City is being hosted by Kansas City Underground. It's going to be a great weekend. And they've given us four free registrations to give away. Normally the price is $90, but we will get you into the conference for free. We have four of those. What you can do to enter is go on our Instagram at Church Planter Podcast. And there you'll find a DM button. Click that DM button. Send us a DM with your email on it and your name and where you serve. So email, name, where you serve, and you'll be entered to win one of four Micro Church Conference registrations. You just get yourself to Kansas City and you can be there and learn a ton from our friends at Brave Futures. Hope you enjoy the show today.
I'll start. My name is Rod. And I like to party.
So you mean whiskey?
What?
You're saying it weird.
Saying what weird?
All of it.
Where do you get off?
Hey, thanks for being here today. I'm really excited. If you haven't met me, my name is Robert Frazier. My friends call me Bobby, and I am doing this podcast to share some ideas about church planting. That's why we're here, is to grow and to learn. And today I've got a new friend that I've been getting to know this last month. His name's Steve Hyatt. He's the director of Orchard NEO, which I learned is not NEO. It's Northeast Ohio. It's a region. It's a place, the home of what many of you basketball players would think of as LeBron James's hometown. So, Steve, how long have you known LeBron? And tell me about him as a junior hire.
Yeah, so LeBron and I go way back. Apparently, we were both born at the same hospital.
There you go. Claim to fame.
Yeah, he was born there a few years after me. Quite a few, actually.
That's really sad when the professional athletes are like years younger than you. And they're like, I guess that dream is dead now.
That's right. I always wanted the dunk, but that never happened either. So,
no, short white people should be like really saved from even watching basketball as young people. It's truly heartbreaking that we love it so much.
I think I jumped up and grabbed the rim one time, and that was like eighth grade, and it was all downhill from there.
You lost the cartilage tightness you needed.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, Steve, you're the director of Orchard NEO, and it is a church planting network that was born out of the church that you serve at. So tell me a little about the story of how it started. And I really want to get down to, like, what does it look like to lead networks of church planting from within a church? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, thanks. I'm really happy to be here. And this has been a really fun ride for me. I'm coming to the completion of my second year as being the director of the program. The program started in 2019 as part of the vision of Christ Community Chapel, which is a larger church in Hudson, Ohio, which is a suburb. I think Cleveland and Akron both argue that it's their suburb. So depending on which city you moved from to get to Hudson, you'll say
which direction you drive in the morning.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So I call it an Akron suburb. Okay. And LeBron does too.
Oh, good.
Yeah. the vision of the church was to figure out how to be a part of church planting in the area. And they actually had made some church, not plants, but campuses really, mm-hmm. that they had started. And eventually those churches ended up becoming their own church, going independent.
That happens a lot because everybody realizes that there's There's no economy of scale to campuses. It's just more work. And they're like,
That's right.
why don't you go be your own problem
That's
rather
right.
than
That's
ours?
right. Off you go. And yeah, so so they have a little bit of practice of kind of birthing some churches. And they kind of looked at the kinds of things that they were good at and what the Lord had given them, and really discovered that, rich in resources, not only financially, but in people and in some expertise and what we could offer that way. So they started this vision of planting 60 churches in Northeast Ohio in the next 30 years, from 2020 to 2050. So that is the vision of the church, and Orchard NEO is the program that they started in order to help them accomplish that vision. So we have begun in the past year or so to partner with other churches in terms of networking. And so that is just a new thing that we've started. There are some other networks in the area, denominational networks, and so I have been in some dialogue with them and trying to figure out how our networks might be able to partner. We really do want to see a movement in this area. Northeast Ohio is probably about 4.5 million people. It's about 20 counties. We've done some research. We've kind of looked at 60 cities of 5,000 people or more. Trying to find spaces where, there might be some churches, but we're looking for cities that don't necessarily have what we would see as a culturally relevant, outreach-oriented, thinking in terms of kingdom mission, reaching their neighbors, kind of a church.
Yeah, because all churches aren't necessarily created equal in terms of their ability to reach the people around them.
Yeah,
Like
and
some
even
churches have, like, they're still taking care of the people that God has brought to them, but they haven't figured out how to kind of get outside of themselves.
yeah, even even if they, let's say, 50 years ago, they were really good at that. Maybe their neighborhood has changed, and they don't actually know how to reach their neighbors now because changes in demographics or whatever the case might be. So we're really just wanting to reach out to those neighborhoods, and we're not trying to do a Starbucks model. We're trying to have like a local coffee shop feel, where if you transplanted that coffee shop into another town, it just wouldn't feel right anymore. So
So, I mean, there's some natural questions that come from that. The first is, like, how are you finding leaders that you're working with? Like, how are you identifying possible church planters? Are they coming from within your community? Are they coming outside? Yeah, what's that recruitment look like?
They've come a number of ways. We try to have the nets open as wide as possible. So we use, church jobs and church staffing and things like that. But we also have guys who, we had a deacon, who had a friend who was already starting a church and had been meeting in his living room for a few months doing Bible study with some people, and said, "Hey, listen, these guys have a program. Maybe you should check it out." And
Great.
so then that guy came on board a couple years ago, launched last Easter, and they're planning on becoming independent this coming summer.
Great.
So yeah, recruiting's probably one of the pinch points for us. It's probably one of the hardest things that we're doing. That seems to be the case for a lot of people, in terms of church planting programs and movements. So
Well, here's your chance. You're on with our, who knows how many people listen to this. I know what the metrics say. There's about 1,000 people a month who are downloading an episode here. So if you're talking to the, you know, thousands of folks who are listening to the Church Planner podcast, what's your pitch for Northeast Ohio? Give it to us. Tell us the hidden gem of Northeast Ohio. Oh. Nobody believes you, but just walk us through it.
Yeah. So we actually keep it hidden as much as possible because we really don't want a whole bunch of people from the coast moving here.
Yeah. We do the same thing. So if you're from California, New York, Massachusetts, Washington, or Oregon, just turn off right now.
Okay. That's right. That's right. So we I mean, it actually is a pretty amazing place. First of all, you know, I like all four seasons, right? So, you know, you have to be a person who can kind of enjoy that. We have a national park. It's like one of the only free national parks in the whole country. I actually drive through it every day just to get to work. So I'm actually pretty thankful for it. But yeah, we've got, you know, city, we have inner city, we have suburb, we have small town feel. Northeast Ohio, if you're coming like from Chicago across Route 80, the western side of Ohio looks exactly like Indiana and flat all the way out to the mountains. But as you get into the foothills of the Appalachians in Northeast Ohio, there's some terrain change, a lot of woods, a lot of good hiking, waterfalls, a lot of beauty. And it really is, you know, the sports teams here, you know, we have a lot of people.
We don't have to talk about that if it helps to not talk about the sports teams.
You know, we like to measure our loyalty factor, I guess, you know, so
when all else fails, there's at least loyalty.
That's right. So you know, we love our Browns and we love the Guardians, even though the name got changed. And, you know, it's actually there's a Midwestern feel here where people are still friendly. You know, there are changes when you get into some other big cities, but, you know, Akron is kind of like a small town feel, but it's a bigger town. You know, Cleveland actually has a lot going on. Some of the best food in the world you actually find in Cleveland. Don't tell anybody. It's actually,
I don't think they believe me.
But no, it's there's something about like in terms of raising a family here. In terms of, you know, you're not going to find better football than Northeast Ohio. You're
close to Canton. You can go to the Hall of Fame.
Canton's here for a reason. Yeah. There are fun things like the Football Hall of Fame or the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and, you know, mm-hmm. some other things like that. But yeah, I really think, man, I love it here. I grew up here. I've traveled all over the world. I've lived in different places in the world. Yeah, there's really nothing like it.
Tell me about the spiritual climate in Northeast Ohio.
Boy, it's an interesting thing. I mean, you think about cities like Cleveland and Canton. I honestly have not been able to wrap my head around it. I think that there's been a lot of religiosity in the past, and I think there is some burnout from that. You know, Akron has had some pretty good sized churches that have actually done a lot of church planting and expansion, campuses that turned into churches. So there really is a lot of growth that way. This church is actually a church that was planted out of that tradition coming from Akron. So, you know, there's a lot of mainline churches and people who are kind of like into the traditions of where those churches have come from. Kent State is on the east side of Akron. You know, so there are college towns in the area. There's a number of very good colleges in the Cleveland area. So students are kind of coming in and out, but yeah, I would say that there's really a lot of need spiritually. But there's also like there's a hunger that's there. People have kind of recognized their need and they're not too proud to admit it.
Yeah. So you guys are a church that does church planting. You've created this organization that supports church planting within your church and partnering with people who are maybe parachute folks or locally identified folks. What is that normal in your region? Are you an outlier? And like, what have you learned in the process over the last year, the last couple of years working with this organization? What surprised you? What's been easier than you thought, and where are the difficulties? That was like six questions, but yeah. Jump in.
I don't really know anybody who's doing what we're doing. I mean, we take on a church planter for 2 years. We pay them a full salary, benefits, and we basically pay for everything. The church comes alongside and helps with everything from a logo to a production system, to a website, paying for rent for a venue, signage. And we do, we have a full board training, that we do with all of our guys. The way we have it set up now is that they kind of come in cohorts, start two guys at a time. So second year guys can kind of help out with first year guys and speak into where they're at. And my hope and dream is that those guys can continue when they're out of the program to encourage each other, help each other, provide for needs. And that's actually been something that's been really encouraging to me. I love watching those connections happen, for light bulbs to click and, you know, for them, next year to turn around and do the same thing for the new guys. So, that's been a great thing to watch and be a part of. You know, we really, have kind of made a turn in a sense of understanding that we're in a post-Christian climate. And so thinking of ourselves in a sense as domestic missionaries, that are trying to reach out. We're not trying to, ride the coattails of some kind of a, cultural Christianity, where we can sort of ride on the ghosts of the past with that. And,
there aren't people saying, I grew up in church and I'm looking to get back into it. Like that number is much smaller than it's been in the past.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, yeah, people who've never really experienced or even stepped foot into a church. I actually met a guy on Sunday who'd never been in a church before in his life.
Really?
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. So yeah, Easter. So, you know, it's the approach of having a missionary mindset, I think, is something that, is very helpful, even just to, you know, think of someone coming from a different culture. My wife and I were missionaries in China for 7 years. And so, I think it's something that is a change in the way that we need to think about the ways that we're reaching out. But it's also an exciting thing, because, when we start to think of our neighbors that way, it actually can release us to just accept who they are and not expect them to have some kind of a Christian cultural background.
It gives you more grace, more room to let them be them and come to Christ where they're at, or actually meet them where they are.
Yeah, that's right. And even just to be able to weigh like what kinds of things are actually important to the church, that are crucial for the gospel to go out and be clear, and which kind of forms that we carry, may not necessarily be, helpful or even recognizable, to people. And it's okay to drop those. Do you really need pews or whatever it is?
And so you're working with a handful of church planters the last few years. Where, when you see them and their mindsets about church planting, where do they need to change how they think about church planting? And like, what advice would you give to people who are kind of at the beginning of their church planting journey?
Yeah, I do think I don't, you have to forgive the term probably, but I call it the siphon method. I don't think that it's a bad thing to grab a few people from the mothership and take them with you at all. But also, I think that counting on that to be like your church can take you out of the missionary mindset. And so, reaching the lost, having that be primary, and really, as we look at statistics, we can see that, new churches, people, are coming to faith in higher numbers in the first few years of a new church than in churches that have been established, right? So, I think that that's one mindset that can be really helpful. It's just to like press into who people are, take the time to hear the story, listen to their where they're coming from. But more than that is the discipleship aspect of training other people to do that same thing. And
You
that.
know, what that reminds me of is you've got, you know how everyone is an extrovert from the time they're like 18 to 24 because they're trying to find a spouse and
That's right.
they need to like get connected to as many people as possible so they can find that one person that will stand them and spend the rest of their life with
Yeah,
them.
right. That's right.
I think a lot of times church planters that are introverted, maybe they're more in the pastor teacher kind of part of the APEST model.
Yeah.
They don't realize that when they're planting, they've got one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Paul tells Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. He doesn't tell him get the gifts of the evangelism. He doesn't tell them to, go and preach a lot of sermons. He tells them do the work of the evangelist, the
Yeah, I like
proclamation
that.
of the kingdom. And I think that most church planters don't realize that they are missionaries. They think that they're gathering people to create a church. But God actually, what we like to say on the Church Planter podcast is Jesus didn't tell anybody to plant a church. He said that the church would come and that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. He told his disciples to preach the gospel and make disciples. And
That's
so
right.
I love that you started there because I think most guys need to hear that their primary job when they're starting church planting is to get out there and meet as many people as they can, get
Yeah.
their extroverted energy and just ring themselves out, for connection, because it is those connections that will fuel that long-term impact through evangelism and discipleship when they get to know as many people as possible, invite them into their house, have as many meals as possible that first year. Because
Yeah.
once church gets rolling, it's harder and harder to reach lost people because the needs of the community that are demanding your time are going to keep you from being an evangelist. And so, like, when you have time, go do it. Be with
Yeah,
people.
that's
Don't
right.
sit in your office. You should never be allowed to be in your office as a church planner.
Yeah,
It's
and
not necessary.
part of that discipleship aspect is training up those next evangelists. So then you have a Timothy and you tell them to go do the work of the evangelist because you know that you're a pastor teacher and it's not really your primary gifting or whatever it is. And to send other people out there to do the same thing so that you're multiplying yourself, right? Because ultimately, I can only reach so many people on my own. But if I'm doing the work of discipleship and I can send more evangelists out, then the church really can multiply that work.
Well, we're coming to the end of our time here, Steve, but I wanted to ask you, how can people get a hold of you if they want to connect and hear more about Northeast Ohio or more about Orchard NEO and connect them with your ministry?
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. So, you can email me, Steve at orchardneo.com. And our website is orchardneo.com.
Great. So if you want to connect up, and you're looking for a salary and benefits to plant churches, This is one of the only offers you're going to get. So
that's
you
right.
Better,
and better get you get to move to Northeast Ohio.
And you get to, so we're not going to tell people, but that's the best part of it.
That's the best part.
No, right. you really, you got to know, you have to at least pretend to be a Cavaliers fan or pretend to be a Guardians fan.
Yeah.
If you move there, which
just buy a shirt.
Jesus said, come follow me, take
that's
up your
right.
cross, follow me. The cross
we all
is
all people. That's
yes.
right.
And if you can become a Cleveland Cavaliers fan for Jesus, you can do anything for the Lord. That's the depths of living in this. You know, the Prince of Darkness owns this world, and we see that when we're forced to do things like this. I think it's clear. that's yeah. enough teasing of Northeast Ohio sports teams. We don't have to keep belaboring it.
Yeah, they're like, what, Chicago number two or something right now, and they're going to just tease us with that, and they're going to, you know, who knows what they're going to do with that. But
yeah, Cleveland is going to get destroyed in the playoffs because they're teasing you. They really are. Like, you Celtics know, are just going to roll through them. It's going to be a bloodbath.
I didn't know you were a Celtics guy. Okay.
Well, I lived in Boston for 6 years, so
it
gets some blood. You got a little green blood.
There it is. I'm glad I got to see Cavs beat Boston this year live. That was fun.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being on today, Steve.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's only 16 games they lost, so you get to be on one of them. Yeah, we'll talk some more soon. Okay?
All right. Thanks a lot.